It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live, Sci Tech Talk, taking the God story to a geeky place. Here's Michelle.
Hey, welcome to Science and Technology Tuesday. Here's what we have on the geeky menu for you today. We're going to be looking at the King's Tech Report, where he's going to be talking about something that is so out of the realm of possibility that science and those in development are saying, well, okay, but let's see how close we can get. What is it? And what does it reveal about you, me, and the world around us? Why is it that there are things that are in our realm, real, every day, even the simple things that we walk by in nature every day, how a bird flies or how a plant grows, and we don't even realize that all of our brilliance and technology is nothing in comparison to those very simple organisms. Well, we'll delve into it and talk about what that reveals about the world, and maybe even intelligent design, and most definitely, the God story. So let's get into it.
See the boy, King.
Tech.
How
King's Tech
Monday?
Report on My Michelle Live.
On this Science and Technology Tuesday, we are going to be getting even geekier than we usually do because we've invited the king of all tech and geek, King. It's time for King's Tech Report. Hey, King.
Hi, Michelle. It's been a while.
It has been too long. We also have Giselle Infante, who just kind of pops in too, just for fun, to hang out with her buddy King and I. Giselle is actually in charge of our sales and marketing at My Michelle Live, and she's a little bit of a, in fact, we're all just a little bit geeky. I'm not going to lie. And if you've noticed, if you go to My Michelle Live and you look at who our staff and people are, you will see a picture of King and Giselle. And you may notice that King has a glorious thing hanging from the bottom of his chin. He has a beautiful beard, and that is where I would like to maybe transition to Real Bearded Men. Real Bearded Men is one of our affiliates, and you can always...
For the man who has everything,
what?
Except anything for his beard, the Luxury Beard Box from Real Bearded Men at mymichellelive.com.
That's right. You can go to Real Bearded Men, and they have a lot of awesome products if you have a beard as glorious as the King's. And if you don't, well, you can be well on your way. All you have to do is go to MyMichelleLive.com and use promo code MyMichelleLive when you use the link to go to Real Bearded Men. Now, having said that, to King and his glorious beard, welcome.
Hello.
And Giselle, hello again, Michelle. Hello again, and hello to King's beard. King, you have in our tech report today something that I think will titillate our geeky senses.
Yes. So I will preface this. This is a science fiction based on some things in science facts. Have you ever heard of perpetual motion machines? Outside of me mentioning it, of course.
A perpetual motion machine? You know, in science fiction, haven't all of us seen that? I don't know what it's called. It has the hanging balls and they click and they never stop, you know? Isn't that just a low-tech form of perpetual motion?
Yes, it is. And that's probably it's one of, if not the most common perpetual motion diagrams. Unfortunately, the one problem is we're never actually going to get perpetual motion.
What?
But
So we go through all of that big buildup we talk about and brag about your beard, and all you have to tell us is that we're never going to get this glorious thing? What? What?
So,
ooh, the
thing about a perpetual motion machine is the whole premise of it, the whole concept is you put energy in and it just goes forever. The problem is, thanks to a little thing called the second law of thermodynamics, that's never going to happen.
Okay.
Simply because of friction and such.
Okay.
Now, kind of veering off into left lane from that, there's a science fiction, there is a TV show that recently came out either over the last year or the year before, before we all got locked in our houses, and it's called Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Now I had seen the original movie that it was based off of.
Which really, I'm sorry, can we just take a moment with Snowpiercer? The original movie with the guy who plays Captain America, and probably why I tuned in, because I'm like, oh yeah, I like Captain America. Let's see what Captain's doing. And then boom, you watched the original Snowpiercer, the movie. Do not watch it. If you haven't already, I just saved you a couple hours of your life. You're welcome.
Well, I mean, you could watch it if you're a fan of Willy Wonka and you want to see the dark, twisted sequel.
Okay.
I was waiting for someone to mention that. But moving on, the nice thing is they came out with a series. And what you have to remember is this series pretty much exists in a completely separate timeline. They're both based off of the same concept, but don't pretend that they're connected to each other.
Okay.
And the nice thing about the series is it actually goes a little more into depth of how the engine, how the train actually works.
Ooh, how interesting.
And me being a giant engineering nerd, I had to figure out how the train worked. And it's almost a perpetual motion machine.
Ooh.
Because what happens is the engine will pull the train. The engine stores energy. It will pull the train. And as the train goes, there's a set of generators connected to each of the wheels so that as the train moves forward, it creates energy from the motion of the wheels to power the train.
Wow.
And it's a loop.
It's just a loop. So how you, as you said, perpetual motion can't really happen. I hate saying can't, because I love that kind of challenge in science to say it cannot happen, and yet somehow we seem to find a way. But what is it about this idea that comes from the imagination of the makers of Snowpiercer and the like that gives us a little bit of insight into something that, well, might be a little closer to the impossible?
Honestly, I think it's the desire to see how far we can go.
Okay.
Like this, the perpetual motion machine was like the whole conception was, and this is in my opinion, the whole concept of the perpetual motion machine was created with that in mind, to see how far we could actually go. It's a theoretical machine that we kind of base most other machines off of in order to increase the efficiency of said machine.
Right. It's kind of astounding, but when you think about the human body, you know, we have kind of a perpetual motion to a degree. I mean, we have to keep refueling, true enough, but we do have these miraculous bodies that just keep going.
You know, on the same kind of note of that, some people have taken the perpetual motion machine in an opposite direction. And rather than do it to see all that they can do, they do it for the wonder and the understanding. There's a gentleman who makes a type of perpetual motion machine. It's powered solely by the wind. And when the wind hits it, they just start crawling. And they're these giant sand walkers.
Oh, I know those. Those are called strand beasts.
Ew.
Yeah. And he calculated exactly how much material he would need to make and be able to create these for the rest of his life. And he bought them all in one go in bulk.
Wow, how glorious.
That part I did not know.
Yeah, he bought all of the materials he would need to make them for the entirety of the rest of his life. He has some that are just fanciful and fun. He has some that actually pick up litter off of the beach. And they're amazing things. They're not very practical. They fall over easily. They sometimes drift away. But they're a more whimsical version of the same concept.
Wow. How interesting. I mean, that's astounding to me. What also blows me away, though, is when we look at some of the things that you're talking about, we can find its like in nature. In a process that is known as biomimicry, it seems like the most astounding discoveries are almost as though they're just recreating something that's already there in nature, and we just like to try to make it for different purposes. Is that fair to say, guys?
Yes, that is that. Like, I would list off like 10 different things that are just based off of biology that we've invented, but I can't think right now.
Let's just think for a moment. Correct. Giselle, you could think of some things that are biomimicked. I mean, if you think of Velcro, you know, we know that comes from any time you've walked through a field with berms that stick to your clothing, you know, someone looked down and said, you know what, we could do that and we could just seal stuff, right? I mean, it's as simple as that. And then we can get to the complex with airplanes and mimicking birds, or being able to make things more aerodynamic by mimicking how a penguin glides through the water. It's astounding, the things that we have discovered, the technology that we have. But to me, it blows me away that no matter how smart and advanced we are, you know, somewhere in nature there's some animal that's doing it in a more advanced and more effective form. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Like this. Go ahead.
We have animals and even plants that we biomimic. I mean, heck, look at any of our spy technology, any of our camouflage technology. We're mimicking nature. If you've ever hunted or know anyone who hunts and they wear a camo jacket, they're mimicking nature. That's biomimicry right there. Nowadays, we have this new technology that's coming out, and it's a glass. It looks like just a glass window or a glass panel. But if you stand behind it at the right angle, you're invisible. You've completely disappeared.
That's
and
crazy.
And it's based off of leaves.
Yeah, and then again, we see some of those things in their extreme form when we watch science fiction. You know, we know that in science fiction, you can see these aliens that you can't see because they almost disappear. And some other examples that come to mind are climbing pads that you put on the bottom of your feet to try to help you to climb up steep surfaces. And they're a biomechanicked. Is that a word? They're biomimicry of the feet of a gecko. I sounded really smart up until that point, and then I just blew it.
up until the last 5 seconds, you were, you know, PhD level, get this girl a TED Talk, and then...
Boom. Done. That's it.
Speaking of the gecko pads, it actually reminds me of a show that I used to watch again, it's just showing off more of my geeky, nerdy side. I used to watch a show called
Prototype Nerd.
And in one of the episodes, they actually tried to make a superhero gecko suit.
Get out.
So,
well, I mean, yes. We have all of the parts. Now we just need to combine them.
Amazing.
We have we can rebuild him.
we have smart fabrics now. We have 3D printers that can print houses, 3D printers that can print fabric. We even have pins that can write, and you can just draw a circuit. You can buy it for your child to play with a little toy car or a light bulb, and you can just make a circuit with a pin.
Astounding.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And then we have even more advanced things like these cool bioprosthetics, which take the same theory as just a prosthetic arm, but to a new level where you don't even have to be hurt, and you can have these bioprosthetics, and it's basically kangaroo feet. It lets you walk faster, jump higher. And that's all taken from nature. One of our most advanced form of drones that's available is based on a dragonfly.
Oh, amazing. You know, after NASA examined some of the microscopic patterns on sharks and their skin, if you've ever felt a shark's skin, it is really surprisingly rough as opposed to some fish that's nice and smooth. They were able to create their own laboratory shark skin and make riblet film to use on products. And again, it helps with being effective swimmers. It can help in creating dynamics through the water. It can be used with coating hull ships or submarines, aircrafts. I mean, it's amazing. And yet all of these astounding things that we've talked about, and even getting into this conversation with King's totally geeky dive into what seemed to be impossible, but how close can we get in perpetual motion? All of these things remind me, as we wrap up our King Report today, that there really, truly is nothing new under the sun. And that just it's just crazy to me. All of the things that we've talked about are really things that are already out there, things that already exist. They just exist in nature. It's a matter of how can we figure out how to use these things for the benefit of man. Guys, this has been groovy, cool, totally geeky, and just throw in a measure of radical nerdness just to complete the recipe. It's always a blast to hang out with you guys. Giselle Infante hanging out. We don't know why. It's just because she likes to. And I'm Michelle Mendoza. And of course, King. It's his tech report after all, right?
See the boy, King.
Tech. King's Tech Report on My Michelle Live.
That's right. The King of Tech. Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure, Michelle.
This is where I want to give a shout out to the one product that defies science, in my opinion, and that's Calitran. It is absolutely a fountain of youth in the bottle, and I highly recommend it. Go to My Michelle Live, click on the link, and use promo code My Michelle Live.
Quasimodo was a hunchback. Carlos Hyde is a running back. And Michelle Mendoza will be right back. See what I did there?
Tushy.
The $40 bidet.
It's got your backside at mymichellelive.com.
When you look at creation and you take a look at humpback whales, do you know that they can improve wind power? That birds can help silence and even make bullet trains more efficient? And that sharks can stop deadly bacteria. What does that mean? Well, we study nature. We copy it. We bring all of its power together to solve some of the crazy problems that we have in the world and make our lives even easier. But when we do that, we might be missing the bigger picture. I came across the most wonderful article. I read it and said, I must get the author on the show. From the Real Truth magazine. It's a magazine restoring plain understanding. And boy, does it in this case. I've invited Gregory Kadonik to join us.
Well, hi, and thank you for having me on the show. It's my pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. You wrote this article on biomimicry. That's a great word that a lot of folks may say, what does that mean?
Right. And biomimicry itself is quite an interesting topic, and the word speaks to the definition of what it is. I mean, it's bio and mimicry, and those two words speak of life and copying. So in a sense, biomimicry is innovation by its definition, seeking sustainable solutions to human challenges by emulating or mimicking, copying nature's time-tested patterns for life.
Well, you've mentioned in your article a couple of the things that I brought out, humpback whales, improving wind power, birds that can help silence bullet trains, and even sharks stopping deadly bacteria. That's just three of thousands of ways that science is trying to look at nature and say, okay, how can we do this? And it's funny because nature always does it better, more efficient, less waste. And yet we're kind of missing the bigger picture in that yeah, God does it a little better.
Well, I would certainly agree with you. I mean, from basic things, you know, biomimicry itself, that discipline or science, I mean, officially started back in 1997. I think Jeanine Baines, who is an author and a biologist, coined the phrase and started the new discipline. But it was going on a long time before that. I mean, as early as the 1940s, somebody came up with a solution, a Swiss man came up with a solution for sticking things together. We know it now as Velcro, but he learned it from the common burdock burr.
Because those of us who have walked through burr and have it stick to our clothes, we get it, right?
Absolutely. It's something that we can sink our teeth into, that we can see all around us. You know, there's other simple things, too, that, you know, leaves. Just looking at the pattern, the way that the leaves, the veins on the leaf branch out and supply to what that leaf needs is leading people to, leading scientists and researchers to study the efficiency with the branching of continuously smaller diameter branches as it comes to a new node and it branches off to smaller diameter and branches off again.
Oh.
To look at our levels of efficiency for home uses, I mean, gases, electric, water pipes, it's making us rethink everything we've done. It's quite an exciting subject and quite an exciting topic, yet it's been around since mankind's walked the earth.
Well, sure. I guess every time we look out at nature, we think, oh, I wonder if this will help with that. Or one thing that I cited, I thought maybe you could expand on a little bit, how sharks may be helping to stop deadly bacteria.
Yeah, that's actually a very fascinating subject. It was a Colorado-based company, Sharklet Technologies. They have determined, and the shark is a very unique species of creature in the ocean. It's got skin, tiny, tiny micro scales, if you want to call them that. But it has to continue to swim no matter what. Otherwise, it drowns. It suffocates. And this fish swims at slow speeds most often, unless it's in going after prey. And it's yet unable to or can withstand bacteria and algae growth. It's a slow-moving creature that withstands algae growth. So scientists studied that, and they found that it was due to the unique nature of the skin or the tiny little micro scale there's a certain pattern that they have in place, and these what they've called denticles in this diamond-shaped pattern prohibit, due to their spacing and shape and orientation, prohibit the growth of bacterial colonies or algae colonies. So what they've done, they've mimicked that in a way where you can take one plastic surface, cover it with a petri dish full of all sorts of bacteria and nasty things that can harm the human body, and then you can take the chemically exact same substance, yet physically imprint a pattern on it similar to and modeled after these shark denticles. And what they found was amazing, that they can withstand bacterial growth, and bacterial colonies did not have the space by which to form, and it significantly reduced them, 85%. Now they're using this for all sorts of technologies, from the bottoms of boats to prevent algae growth on boats, which is natural.
Yes, was saying for the coating of hulls of Navy ships, they're using that for.
Absolutely. And this technology reaches right into the field where you and I occasionally have to visit the doctor. Occasionally bad things happen and you have to go into the hospital.
You know, you got to wonder what they can do with this, or what they might be able to find in nature that can curb the coronavirus and all of our fear while we're shooting weird things into ourselves and lining up to do so, and unnaturally wearing masks that inhibit oxygen flow. You kind of wonder. This is amazing.
And in those cases, people are worried. There's MRSA, there's all sorts of deadly diseases that people are contracting, C. difficile, and the list goes on and on, flesh-eating bacteria. And this, covering those commonly touched surfaces, can actually prevent the spread and the persistence of those types of diseases.
And all of this comes from us looking at what God's already created. And I guess that is the bigger question here. This is the bigger picture in all of that, that we are looking towards creation because God does it better. The chances, you just really have to try to wrap your mind around thinking, what are the chances that this just accidentally happened without a creator, when we aren't able to create anything better and in fact have to mimic what's already there?
Absolutely. And this is through, in fact, most people don't really believe that God would have put this in place and then told us that we probably wouldn't believe it. And yet he recorded it through his successive servants and his recorded word, the Bible, and has recorded it for centuries and millennia. God says, basically, it's obvious and you can see it by the things that are made, that I have made. And it's clearly obvious that there had to be a designer involved. You know, all these superior technologies and wonderful innovations that mankind is now discovering through the use of biomimicry and has discovered since innovation began with the first human being, mankind is seeing the mind of God because he has to create and design and put thought and put time into trying to even partially replicate or even grab one facet or two of these amazing designs that were already in place beforehand.
And
to think that they just, you know, poofed out of the sky and flopped here straight out of water and came out of nothing is absolutely ridiculous.
Well put. Gregory Kadonik is our guest. I absolutely love this article and had to share it with you. Don't worry. I have a link on mymichellelive.com. The article came from The Real Truth magazine. It's a magazine restoring plain understanding. The Real Truth is this wonderful magazine, great information. This is one of the articles called Copying the Genesis in Nature. In fact, can I brag on you for a minute? And just, this is one of my favorite quotes, and I wanted to quote it right from the article because this really says it all. Humanity is on a total different wavelength than God when it comes to spiritual matters. You cite Ephesians 2:2. We continually attempt to solve our biggest problems through our own analysis and experimentation within creation while denying the God who made it in the first place. Unquote.
Yes, that is true. Most often, mankind doesn't want to acknowledge a creator because right now, God has allowed mankind to make free choices. He's always done that. And mankind would rather not acknowledge something higher in order or greater in power than he is. Otherwise, he would have to come under authority to it.
But as we've been talking about biomimicry or being able to look at nature, see how nature does things efficiently, we look at photosynthesis and a blade of grass, and we can't even begin to try to copy creating, you know, breaking up, using sunlight to break up water to create hydrogen fuels as efficiently as one blade of grass. I mean, and that's just one of many examples, including the ones we've talked about today, that show just how amazing it is when we look at God's creation, the things that he's already put out there. We can't even come close to achieving, but it does give you a goosebump moment when I read your article. It's actually copying the genius in nature. Forgive me for misquoting that. It really brings it home, and you have this moment of, wow, God is amazing.
It certainly does.
So as you've been listening today, I hope you enjoyed our Science and Technology Tuesday edition of the My Michelle Live podcast. I hope that you can dig a little deeper and look at what science is showing us in creation, what science is showing us in your world, and what science is revealing about, well, where all of this has come from. And how closely it starts to resemble the idea of not only intelligent design, but a biblical worldview that leads to a God story and a story of hope. If you have really dug what's been going on today, I encourage you to go to My Michelle Live, look around at some of our other podcasts, and please like this, share this, comment on us, help us to grow, support us. You can even go to My Michelle Live and pick up some of the cool products that we have there, because everything you do supports what we do and getting the God story out there. Thanks for joining us today. And Gregory, thank you for being with us. It's been a blast.
Oh, I certainly enjoyed myself as well. I enjoyed our discussion. I do appreciate you having me on here today to have this discussion and talk about the article, and I'm happy to do it.
Great. Then come back and join us again. And you, as you're listening or watching, come back and join us again. We'll catch you tomorrow.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.